Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with the perspective and tools to grow and change. I don't know about you, but the best time of the morning or evening for me is when I can put on my running shoes and grab my earbuds, turn on a podcast, and walk or run to something that will leave me inspired and better off for having heard it. That's why I listen to uplifting podcasts. This podcast is born from a deep desire to help us all live a happier life and find some inspiration. So, hopefully today, in this time together, we'll get a new perspective of how to think and live better. And as always, take a few minutes today to share this podcast with a friend, because it just may be what they need in their life today. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to talk about the Matthew effect. In 1723, a 17-year-old printer's apprentice named Benjamin Franklin arrived in Philadelphia with almost nothing. He had very little money, no formal higher education, no powerful family connections. But he did have one crucial advantage. He had started early. Franklin began apprenticing in his brother's printing shop at the age of 12. He was learning at a young age about typesetting, editing, writing, and how to invent. He read constantly, often late into the night. He copied essays by hand to improve his style. He rewrote articles from memory to sharpen his thinking, and he treated self-education like a discipline. By the time he reached Philadelphia, he already possessed 5 years of practical trade experience and thousands of hours of deliberate practice in reading and writing. And that early start created momentum. Within a few years, he opened his own print shop, launched Poor Richard's Almanac. He built relationships with civic leaders, organized lending libraries, and helped found what became the University of Pennsylvania. Franklin did not inherit wealth or standing. He simply started early. Printing skills, business ownership, community influence, scientific experimentation, political leadership. Each early effort unlocked the next opportunity. And by the time he helped draft the Declaration of Independence decades later, his influence was not the result of a single breakthrough moment. It was the product of early preparation meeting expanding opportunity. His printing apprenticeship at age 12 may have seemed small, but that head start gave him what allowed him to become one of the most influential figures in American history. In the early 2000s, a group of Canadian researchers examined the birth dates of players in Canada's elite youth hockey programs, the same pipeline that produces many professional National Hockey League players. They weren't looking for anything dramatic, just patterns. What they found was startling. A massive percentage of the top players, including future NHL stars, were born in January, February, or March. Very few were born in November or December. It wasn't random. Canada's youth hockey system, you see, uses January 1st as the cutoff date for age group eligibility. And that means a boy born on January 2nd is almost a full year older than the boy born on December 30th, even though they play in the same league in the same age group. And at 7 and 8, that age gap is enormous. The January kids were slightly taller, slightly stronger, slightly more coordinated. And coaches, seeing these differences, selected them for A teams instead of B teams, more ice time, better coaching, and stronger competition. And those early selections mattered and built on one thing after another. The January-born players practiced more, improved faster, gained confidence. The December-born players, often equally talented, were more likely to be cut, discouraged, or placed in lower tiers. By the time researchers examined professional rosters, the pattern still held up. In fact, one of the most famous examples is Wayne Gretzky, who was born on January 26. So what began as a few months' age difference turned into lifelong advantages for many of these kids. Researchers call this the Matthew effect, which can be described as early advantage plus earnest effort creates momentum, and momentum changes long-term outcomes. Now, this phenomenon, the Matthew effect, was popularized in sociology and education after a biblical passage in the Gospel of Matthew, which reads, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. The term Matthew effect was introduced by sociologist Robert Merton in 1968, and Merton observed that well-known scientists often got disproportionate credit for discoveries compared to lesser-known peers. In other words, success tends to breed more success. The rich got richer and the renowned got more recognition. Merton observed scientific publishing and found that when established researchers publish a finding, their work receives more attention and citations and credit than identical work by lesser-known researchers. And this wasn't because the work was inherently better. It was often because the scientist was already famous. And from this origin in science, the Matthew effect has been applied to education, wealth, social influence, athletics, and career advancement. The common mechanism is cumulative advantage, meaning small initial advantages led to greater opportunities over time. Now, this same advantage often holds in your business as well. You may find that business partners who get off to a fast start often do better in the long term. Why? It could be confidence or momentum. It could be they thrive off early success and recognition. It could be they are more early and eager. Could be their early success builds greater faith and trust in the system and several other advantages. And the same goes for you. When you're trying something new, are you better off acting with urgency early? Of course. Those who delay or dip their toe in the water tend to never really get in the water. Now, Malcolm Gladwell popularized this idea, and the idea that expertise requires practice, often quoted as 10,000 hours. And while the exact number of hours required is debated, the principle is early, dedicated practice yields disproportionate results. Children who begin to read early, have access to books, and receive encouragement tend to develop literacy more rapidly. Early literacy unlocks greater educational confidence, vocabulary, and self-directed learning. And once a child is ahead, they continue to get more reading opportunities and feedback and academic success. In the 1990s, researchers in Boston tracked thousands of students. They found that by third grade, a large achievement gap had already formed between students who read proficiently and those who did not. Those who read well continued to excel, while struggling readers fell further behind each year, even if their intelligence was similar. The gap wasn't just academic. It predicted high school graduation rates and future income levels. And I'll say this again. What predicted higher high school graduation and academic scores was the reading level students had in the third grade. The sooner a learner gains confidence and skill, the more likely they are to seek challenges, practice, and succeed in subsequent tasks over time. Now, I noticed this very thing during graduate school. In my MBA program, there were 120 of us in our school class. It was a prestigious school and very competitive. I noticed that the students who came into the program with an understanding of the principles we studied, business, finance, and more, often got more attention from professors and even started to group together for projects. And this seemed to compound on itself. They became even smarter because they were associating with students who were more experienced. And they all move faster together. They fed off each other's performance. And on your team, you may have seen something similar. This is an incredibly important principle if you're leading a team or family. Early success matters. Perhaps you can organize systems to provide early success. Focus on early success of your team members. Put your effort there. Now, I've seen a lot of businesses come and go, and it's pretty consistent that leaders who ensure new customers succeed often have organizations that do the same. Robert Merton showed through citation analysis that when scientists with existing prestige published articles, their articles were more likely to be cited, shared, and referenced. Because citations influence funding, tenure, and future opportunities, early success compounded into career advantages for these professors and researchers as well. Now, one of the most famous scientific cases illustrating this bias involves Rosalind Franklin and the discovery of the DNA double helix. Franklin, produce the critical X-ray diffraction images showing the structure of DNA. Yet James Watson and Frances Crick, who used her unpublished data, received most of the recognition, including the Nobel Prize, while Franklin, who had passed away by the time of the award, was largely omitted from the early historical accounts. Why? Partly because Watson and Crick's names were already known in scientific circles, and they published first, and subsequent textbooks reinforced their name. Franklin, though brilliant, did not receive the same cumulative advantage. Benjamin Franklin famously said, "Money makes money, and the money that makes money makes more money." This perfectly encapsulates the Matthew effect in economics. Early financial advantage, whether through inheritance, investing, or career opportunities, grows exponentially. Consider two people at the age of 25. Person A invests $5,000 a year from age 25 to 35, stops investing, but keeps those investments invested until age 65. And person B doesn't start saving until the age of 35 and saves $5,000 a year every year from 35 until 65. At age 65, person A will have more money even though they only saved for 10 years compared to person B who saved for 30 years. Because person A started early and saved early using compounding interest to create wealth. Here's another example of the Matthew effect. Actors who achieve early success tend to get bigger roles later. Catching a breakout role isn't just about talent, it increases visibility, agent interest, and industry trust. Two actors audition, let's say. An actor A gets cast as a breakout character in a popular show. Actor B doesn't. Even though both have equal talent, actor A suddenly has an agent with higher connections, invitations to auditions, and social media followers and public recognition. And that early advantage leads to more auditions, which leads to more roles, and the cycle continues. Consider two startup founders. Founder X gets seed funding and mentorship early, and founder Y lacks capital early. Founder X can hire talent faster, iterate products, and attend high visibility events. Success attracts media attention, which attracts customers. A classic Matthew effect in business. You know, some of the early investors in Google and Facebook, for example, became disproportionately wealthy because their equity stakes multiplied as companies grew. Their early involvement generated opportunities like board seats and venture capital offers. Here's what I've learned. Too often, we fail as leaders to create energy and clarity early in our team efforts. But when we do, we move so much more effectively because we learn from early failures and avoid mistakes. In his book on this topic, Daniel Rigney explains that one cause of the Matthew effect on teams and in life is the positive feedback loop that results for early starters and successes, similar to compounding interest. Once an individual or institution has an initial advantage, whether it's wealth, prestige, education, or resources, that advantage tends to produce more favorable outcomes in the future. And the same effect shows itself in social networks. A student named Carlos grew up in a home where parents spoke both Spanish and English and had a large library. From early age, Carlos learned two languages. He read and received encouragement for creative pursuits. He entered college with advanced reading and comprehension skills, easily making the honors programs. The early advantage of language exposure and books shaped his trajectory more than about anything else. The Matthew effect also appears in politics. Political figures with early victories gain name recognition, media exposure, and donor support, while others don't. And voters are more likely to support familiar names and incumbents, again, reinforcing political advantages. Rigney also explains that many of today's most prestigious universities were not originally better in any inherent or moral sense. Their dominance emerged because they gained early advantages. In the late 19th and 20th centuries, a small number of American universities received early philanthropic endowments, access to donors, political legitimacy, and early success in research. And once that happened, a powerful success cycle began. And those institutions could hire better faculty, attract stronger students, produce more research, get more grants, and increase their prestige. And that prestige then fed back into the system. He emphasizes that later founded universities, even when well-run and innovative, struggled to break into this top tier, not because of poor quality, but because the elite school's early momentum had become self-reinforcing. Examples of these early universities include Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Stanford and Columbia. Now, while the Matthew effect explains how advantages compound, it also can show how disadvantages accumulate. Students who fall behind in reading often become disengaged. Lack of early success leads to frustration, which leads to avoidance, which leads to widening gaps. And without intervention, students can carry that academic deficit into adulthood. Families with fewer resources cannot invest in enrichment activities for kids or early education or college savings, and those gaps grow over generations. Now, on your team members who don't have early success are often discouraged and don't attract help from others and don't gain the skills needed. So again, at its core, the Matthew effect describes a self-reinforcing cycle. Advantage begets further advantage, and disadvantage tends to compound into further disadvantage. So how does all this apply to you and me? Well, we all lead teams, and we all have something that we're engaged in, whether it's business or family or life. And imagine if we were to hold this Matthew effect in our mind and actions. Helping kids read earlier because we see it as critical. Helping business partners have early help because in the first 2 months of business, that's the most important. Our own goals could have disproportionate effort early because we understand the impact of early success. Now, an adjacent concept to the Matthew effect is important to keep in mind. It's called the network effect. In business school, they teach that a network effect occurs when the usefulness or value of a product, service, or system grows as more people adopt it. Early users create momentum, which makes the network more attractive to subsequent users, producing an advantage for the first movers or early adopters. The classic example is Facebook, which grew rapidly because early adoption by college students created a network others wanted to join. eBay gained value for sellers and buyers as more participants joined, and that increased opportunities for more transactions. In both cases, early adoption created a self-reinforcing cycle. Now, we all can create a network effect. The more members of your team that have success early will indeed attract other new members because they see the accumulating success. And this is important to remember. The early start is worth it because you're seeking to create a network effect. So, as we end today, remember, whether in education, science, wealth, athletics, careers, small initial advantages, when coupled with dedicated practice and support, can grow into significant life outcomes. And remember, it's important to provide support systems to ensure that late starters or disadvantaged individuals on your team have pathways to catch up. In life, the people who succeed often do so not because they were born ahead, but because they took early action, earned opportunities with effort, and continuously positioned themselves to benefit from the subsequent growth. Ultimately, the message is not that success is predetermined, but that the start, the early effort, matters immensely. And that start can be amplified through persistent support and other wise choices. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend and join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.